bizarre ritual described in the first reading, where Moses clutches a bowl brimming with blood and then splashes it first on God's altar and then on God's people. As repulsive as the gesture might seem to us, it reveals something very profound about the sort of relationship God wants with us. When I was a young boy, we had a similar ceremony, though far more benign, to acknowledge a special bond we had with our closest friend. We would make a small cut on our finger and then mingle our blood with our friend's blood to signify the unbreakable bond that existed between us as blood brothers. In a more solid way, this morning's Exodus reading evokes this symbol of a blood bond between God and human beings, a bond that can never be broken. The Bible calls this indestructible bond a covenant. The idea of an irrevocable covenant between God and human beings has a long pedigree in the scriptures. The first covenant between God and the world occurred in the aftermath of the devastating flood that ravaged the earth in Noah's time. That covenant was a simple non-aggression pact where God promised never to use the weapon of rain against his people. He promised by showing the rainbow locked away in the heavens, never to be used again against human beings. God seems to be fudging on that promise. Several centuries later, the covenant took an even more benevolent cast when God promised the patriarch Abraham unimaginable prosperity in a new country, the promised land. Finally, in that reading from Exodus which we heard a few minutes ago, God offered the Hebrew people something absolutely unheard of before. God offered them a proposal of marriage. If they would be his people, he would be their God. What exactly does it mean, though, to be married to God? I mean, it's difficult enough to figure out what is expected in a marriage between two human beings. But what does being married to God entail? Well, in their puzzlement, the Hebrew people went to the prophet Micah and posed that same question. What does God expect of us? And Micah answered that in offering to marry them, God was inviting them to create the kind of society that God had dreamed about from the beginning of creation. What does the Lord require of you, Micah asked? Simple, three little things. Practice justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. The first rule, practice justice, simply meant that God expected the Hebrew people to treat each other fairly, neither offering preferential treatment to the powerful nor taking advantage of the weak. The second rule, to love kindness, ratchets up that expectation another notch. Actually, kindness is not a particularly good translation. The Hebrew word chesed combines the ideas of loving kindness and gracious generosity. Frequently, when the Bible speaks of chesed, it refers to the love between a husband and wife, who make their way through life accommodating each other, but without keeping a running tally of every little sacrifice each of them makes. That is how God wants things to be between Israel and himself. A gracious, faithful accommodation of each other, not a tight-fisted, teeth-clenching compliance with the commandments. The final rule, walk humbly with God, simply means accepting God's love every day, but recognizing all the while that there is nothing we can do to deserve that love. God gives it to us freely. That, Micah says, is what God expects from you. Treat each other fairly. Be big-hearted in your relationship with God and accept God's love as a gift, something you can earn by your good behavior. That seems easy enough. And according to today's reading, the Israelites accepted God's proposal enthusiastically. And yet, from the very beginning, they rarely seemed capable of holding up their end of the bargain. Shortly after they ratified the covenant, they began to act shamelessly. Business partners denied and cheated and stole. Judges and lawyers trampled on the rights of defenseless widows and orphans. Husbands and wives were brazenly unfaithful to one another. And yet, despite their despicable behavior, God could not bring himself to divorce this people. He simply loved them too much. Time and again, he sent prophets to them, begging them to turn away from wickedness. And time and again, Israel did come back, at least for a while. But they always wound up backsliding. Eventually, God thought, I must have made the covenant too difficult for them. I need to make a new covenant with them. In fact, God went one step further. He sent his only beloved Son to earth to show us, step by step, just how to live out this irrevocable covenant with God. Every teaching of Jesus, every healing, every encounter with another human being was a lesson in how a disciple should act. Basically, all of Jesus' lessons boil down to three things: love, serve, forgive. Reach into your heart and love others even when they do not deserve your love. Use your time, talent, and treasure to serve others even when your sacrifice is not acknowledged. And then the hard one: forgive the one who has hurt you, even when they haven't come crawling on their knees begging your forgiveness. Too often these three little rules seem beyond our ability. They especially seem difficult if we only focus on people who perform them to a heroic degree, like Mother Teresa or Horace McKenna, pouring out their lives in humble service of the poor. But the truth of the matter is that God does not expect us to act heroically. He simply asks us to love, to serve, and to forgive in ordinary, everyday ways with ordinary, everyday people. So as you approach the altar this evening, to ratify once again your covenant with the God who loves you to pieces, ask for the insight to know who God wants you to love, who God asks you to serve, and who God needs you to forgive. Then ask God for the generous heart you will need.